God we trust, learning to trust in God. This morning, we're going to be focusing on an aspect of our lives, okay, that has to do with our dreams, our goals, and our direction in life, and learning to trust God concerning those things. Before we begin our lesson, though, let me remind you of a couple of things. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, we will be showing these two movies at the same time. The unlikely Good Samaritan will be here in the auditorium, and the movie for the children, Matchmaker Mary, will be in the fellowship hall. And so the kids will be back there, and we'll have popcorn for folks and all of that. So I want to just encourage you to come out for our third Sunday get-together. Free movie night. Invite your friends, bring people to come and enjoy this time that Brian has put together for us. All right? So that's what's going on there. Next Sunday, fourth Sunday fellowship, we're having a cookout. I'll say you're having a cookout, okay? Brian's going to take care of doing some cooking of hamburgers and hot dogs. The church is going to provide those and the buns, and we need everybody else to provide all the stuff you want to have with hamburgers and hot dogs, side dishes, drinks, desserts, and so forth. That will be at 5 o'clock back in the fellowship hall. So I want to encourage you to come out and share in that time and encourage Brian. He's Brian needs to learn how to cook more. And now, Brian's actually a good cook when it comes to cooking hamburgers. He's helped me out a lot of times in doing that. So, but anyway, that's what's going on next Sunday, and I hope you'll be there. Cindy and I are leaving Thursday to go to meet the children, the grandchildren down in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, to spend the Memorial Day weekend with them, and we'll be back the following Tuesday. We're coming back. So just ask for your prayers for that and travel and so forth. But we're just kind of going to get away with them for a little while and enjoy that time with them. The following Sunday, the first Sunday in June, June the 2nd, we're going to be honoring Charles. He's our lone graduate this year, and we're going to be having a graduation dinner for him after the morning services, a fellowship meal, so please keep that in mind and plan accordingly for that, to come and share that time of food and fellowship and encouragement for Charles, all right? So we look forward to all of that. Okay, in God we trust, okay? That is, I think most people realize, that is our national motto, okay? And it is even on our money. Now, I don't know how much longer it's going to be on our money. We got folks today that are working very hard to get that removed off of our money because they want to remove God from all the arenas, public arenas in the country. But still, right now, it is still our national motto and is still on our money. In God we trust. Let me ask you this question. How many of you, you see a penny laying on the ground somewhere, how many of you will stop and pick up that penny? Okay, good. Lots of you do that. Well, a lot of people won't bother, okay? There's a story of these two couples that had gone out to eat dinner. And they left the restaurant, they were going across the parking lot, and they came upon a penny laying there in the parking lot, and one of the ladies bent down and picked up the penny. And one of the other folks, the gentleman, not her husband, but the other man, says to her, what are you doing? Why'd you bother picking up that penny? It's not worth anything. Okay. Everybody got your penny? Take it out and look at it. She said, oh, but you're wrong. She said, that's not just a penny. That's an in God we trust. You notice that on there? You see, so sometimes we don't really understand the value of something when we just look at its face, do we? You think, oh, it's just a penny. Pennies aren't worth anything. No, maybe a penny's not, but an in God we trust is worth anything. Everything. And so I gave everybody a penny today, bright, shiny, new penny. And I hope that you'll carry that around with you to remind you that it's not just a penny, but it's an in God we trust. remind you to trust in God in everything in your life. Okay? Here's the question. We have it as a national motto, okay? We have it on our money, and we talk about trusting in God, but do we really trust in Him? Do we really trust God? Okay? When somebody's struggling with something, oftentimes we will say, well, just trust in God. But what does that really mean, to just trust in God? And not only that, but do we really mean it, or do we find ourselves just saying that because maybe we don't know what else to say? Well, you just need to trust in God. And sometimes I wonder if that just kind of comes out without us really even realizing that we're saying it, because it's so common. We need to trust in God. Now, it's true. We do need to trust in God, right? Everybody agree with that? And get at least one amen on that, right? Okay? But the point is that I think sometimes we don't really even think that much about it. We just say it. It's kind of like when we greet someone, we say, how are you doing? And what does that mean? We don't really want to know how they're doing most of the time, do we? You say, it's just a way for us to greet someone anymore. We ask them, how you doing? And then somebody starts telling you. I did that one time, you know, with a fellow that came by my office one day. I said, hey, how you doing? And he started telling me, it's like too much information. I didn't really mean how are you doing, okay? I think that we do that with certain statements, and this is one of them, that we just say that. Again, a lot of times when someone's struggling, we say, well, just trust in God. And what does that really mean? And do we really mean it when we say it? You see, we face a lot of different situations in our daily lives that challenge our trust. That's what this study is going to be about, is looking at a lot of those different situations in our lives where we're called upon to trust in God, but we need to learn how do we do that, okay? In other words, what is God doing in the midst of those challenges? That's one of the things I want you to think about. I'm going through this, and that's oftentimes what we're focused on, right? It's I'm going through this. I want to challenge you to start thinking about what's God doing while you're going through this. Okay? What is God doing? I guarantee you He's not just sitting up there in heaven reading a magazine, okay? He is working on your behalf while you're going through whatever it is you're going through at any point in your life. What is He doing? And then secondly, how does God call upon us to respond to whatever is going on in our life at that time? Okay? Well, that's one of the things we're going to be looking at in this study. Today, in this lesson, we're going to talk about our dreams. Okay? Our goals. And how about our direction in life? That's oftentimes a big one, especially for young people. All you know, these young people that, you know, maybe finishing high school, finishing college, in the middle of college, trying to figure out what are they going to do with themselves, what direction do I want to go in, where does God want me to go, and we find ourselves in these different circumstances and situations that we deal with in life, and that's one of the questions we ask, what direction does God want me to go in? Well, let's begin by talking about this part. What's your plan? Ever thought about that? What's your plan? You know, we are planners, aren't we? Okay? How many of you don't have one of these? Anybody not have a calendar? Okay. All right, you guys are the exception to the rule, okay? All right. I mean, we plan, you know, put down on that calendar, you know, everything that we've got to do, right? Where we're supposed to be, what time, and who we're meeting, whatever it is that's going on, okay? We plan stuff. And we organize some more than others, but at least most of us have a calendar that we write these things down, or in your phone or what have you, right? If I lost my phone, I wouldn't know what I'm doing for the rest of the day. Because everything that I do is in my phone, on the calendar, you see? How about your work plans? Schedule those, plan those. Here's when I've got to be at work, and here's the stuff I've got to do today, or whatever the case may be. We even plan what we're going to do for the weekend, don't we? Got a weekend coming up. I just shared with you, you know, Cindy's and my plans and plans of our kids. We're going to go away for the weekend. How many of y'all do that? You know, it's been a long week, and hey, I'm looking forward to the weekend because I'm going to do thus and so. Plan out the weekends. How about summer plans? How many of you already been doing that? Okay. What are you going to do for the summer? Where are you going to go on summer vacation and all of those kind of things? And then usually for a lot of folks, sometime around the end of August, beginning of September, we start planning for Christmas, don't we? You know? And so, you know, we got to make sure we get everything planned out so that when the big day arrives, everything works the way that we what? Planned it, right? Some people actually have all their Christmas stuff done by the end of September. Okay? That's, to me, just a way too much planning, okay? But you see, we just plan all kinds of things, don't we? Well, again, how about, you know, college? Plan for college. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What are we going to major in? What are we going to minor in? What are we, you know, all those questions about college. And then we get finished with college, we're talking about a career, we're planning that, right? And what are we going to do for the rest of our lives and all of those kinds of things. And then, after we've done all that planning and all that working, then guess what we do? We plan for retirement, right? We go into retirement plan. So when I get done with my career, okay, and I get all that stuff done that I'm planning to do in my career-wise, then here's what I'm planning to do the rest of my life. Just relax and do whatever, right? So retirement planning. We like to plan. Make plans. Is there anything wrong with that? Anything wrong with making plans? No, not really. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians who kind of get some things mixed up in what the Bible says about planning, so they don't really make a whole lot of plans. All right? But we need to understand that planning really is necessary, but there's a right way and a wrong way to plan. Okay? James tells us about planning. Okay? James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Now, is James here telling us not to plan? No. What he's telling us here in part is, you know what? At some point in your life, all the plans that you have made are going to be unfinished. Okay? You can make all the plans you want to, but you need to recognize that at some point, everything from that point on is going to be left undone. You're going to die. Okay? You're going to die. And so everything that you planned after that point is going to be left undone. And you don't know, the second part of what he's saying is you don't know when that point's going to come. So therefore, he's not saying don't plan, but he's saying instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. And he goes on to say, as it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. In other words, when you plan with the focus on yourself and going, oh, look, I'm going to accomplish this, I'm going to do all of these things, and you don't even stop and consider what God's will is for you, your planning is useless. Because how do you know that God might not just take you home tomorrow? And all your plans that you made are left undone. So James doesn't tell us not to plan. What he does is tells us how to plan. Make sure that when you plan that you're looking at it from what does God want me to be doing? And if it's God's will, then here's what I'm going to be focusing on and trying to accomplish. If it's God's will. So we need to consider that when we're looking at our plans. I've told you before, and I talk about people sharing this idea. You know, as I mentioned a moment ago, I've got all of my plans made for every day that I'm, you know, going about. And, I start out the day, and I've got a plan of what I want to do, what I want to accomplish. And sometimes I go through all of those things that I want to accomplish for the day. But there's a lot of days when my phone rings and everything after that I had on my schedule doesn't get done. Because, somebody's in the hospital or somebody had an accident or somebody this, somebody needs me. And so all the plans that I had for the remainder of the day are gone. Now I have a choice. I can either get upset and be bothered by and frustrated at that now I can't get all the stuff done that I need to get done today. You notice what I just said? All the stuff done that I need to get done today. Or I can realize that probably what I need to be doing is the things that God decided for me to do today. You see? And when I keep that in that perspective, I realize, that's what I'm here for, is to do what He wants me to do, not just simply what I want to do. And I'm able to keep it in a better perspective. This is God's day. It belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to me. Okay? So I make my plans, realizing that, since the day belongs to Him, He's allowed to just kind of change my day for me and send me where He wants me to be today. So, you see, we need to plan that way. If it's the Lord's will, I'll do this or that. If it's not the Lord's will, He'll let me know what I need to be doing for Him. Okay. The wise man in Proverbs 15, and verse 22, tells us also about planning this way. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So again, nothing wrong with planning. And in fact, when we make plans, we need to get advice from other people a lot of times. Okay? Because otherwise, all the plans we make may just fall short. Read an article just the other day about a fellow that planned his wedding. He and his fiance invited their family, and their family, everybody comes in for this, their day, their wedding day. And they were going to have the wedding, and then they were going to have this reception and so forth. But after the wedding ceremony, nobody showed up for the reception. Now, this was their family, right? And nobody showed up. Guess where they were? They were at his sister's baby gender reveal party that she did not bother to tell him about. And everybody went to that. Now, I don't know what else that tells us about their family problems going on. But my point here is that somebody didn't do a lot of good planning and didn't do a lot of, get some advice in their planning, so their plans failed. You see? Sometimes we need to make sure we're getting advice and guidance on the plans that we're trying to make. And sometimes maybe what we need to do is this. Okay? Write your plans in pencil. And then give God the eraser so that He can erase your plans and write in what He wants. We need to have that kind of an attitude about our plans. Okay? Because here's the next question that you have to think about. You see, it's not all just about what our plans are, but what about God's plan for you? You know, when it comes to your dreams and your goals and your directions and all those kinds of things, do you stop and consider what is God's plan for you? You know, you say, you know, when I grow up, I still ask people this all the time. What do you know, the young people ask me, what are you going to be when you grow up? Because I still haven't figured that out because I haven't grown up yet. Okay? So I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. But when we, you know, when we're kids, somebody asks, what do you want to be? And most of the time people say what? Kids will say, boys will say what? I want to be a fireman or a policeman, right? Okay, and the girls want to be what? A what? A nurse or a princess, right? A ballerina, those kind of things, right? And so we have these ideas. What do I want to be? What do I want to do? What are my dreams and my goals and my direction? But he realized that God has already got that planned out and figured out. He's got plans for you, in other words. In the text that Holloway read for us, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, just so that we understand the context that God used this in, he instructed Jeremiah to share this thought with the Israelite people. When was it? It was preparing them for returning from the exile. In the verses just before this, God says through Jeremiah to the Israelite people, after 70 years, I will bring you back from captivity. So God is reminding them. And he's reminding them of what his plans are for them at a time and an event in their life when they are in turmoil. They're in captivity. They're being ruled by another nation. And not just ruled like they were in the Roman times. They were slaves. They were captives by the Babylonians. So would you agree that that kind of a situation doesn't really promote a whole lot of hope for them? In other words, they would look at that and go, what's going to happen to us now? There's no hope. And God says, no, I don't want you thinking that way. You're going to be captive for 70 years, and after that, let me tell you what I got planned for you. He said, I've got plans for you. And my plans do not include harming you. But they are plans to prosper you. And they're plans to give you hope. And plans to give you a future. And that's a concept that we need to have within ourselves as we go through life. To realize that we're God's people. And even though, and we'll talk about this in another lesson more in depth, but even though we may find ourselves in the midst of turmoil or trouble, God says, don't worry about it, don't despair, because I got plans for you. You see, God always has plans for His people. He's always got plans for you. And those plans do not include bringing you harm. Those plans include helping you to prosper, helping you to have hope, even in hopeless situations, and helping you to look forward to the future that He has in store. Okay? God has plans for us. He has plans for us as individuals, as families, and as a church. God has plans for us. He's got plans for you, every one of them. He has plans for your family, and He has plans for us as a family. But one of the things that we have to understand about God's plans is they don't always match ours, do they? They don't always match our plans. Here's what I've decided I want to do. Those aren't God's plans, necessarily. You know, many of you know my story. You know, as I came along, I was, you know, in high school. Before that, I decided, since I was 7 years old, I decided I wanted to be a priest. I grew up in the Catholic Church. I wanted to be a priest. Went to a seminary, studied to be a priest. It was in the seminary I decided I wanted to be a Virginia State Trooper. That was my plans. I'm going to be a Virginia State Trooper. I had it all planned out. I'm going to go in the military for 2 years, serve as a law enforcement in there, and then I'm going to come out and I'm going to get hired by the state police. I'm going to be a state trooper all my life. Well, the military didn't work out. They wouldn't let me be a law enforcement. They wouldn't guarantee it. So I said, forget it. I'm not going there. I went to college. I said, I'll fix them. See all these plans I did. You know? So I went to college. I was in college taking classes at night with a lot of policemen. And one day, some of those policemen from Newport News came in and said, hey, they just lowered their age limit down to 18 in Newport News for police officers. I went over there and signed up, and they hired me. I was 19 years old at the time. Right? I was on my way. I was going to work there until I was 21. Then I was going to be a state trooper. That's all I wanted to do was be a state trooper. So I did that. I met Cindy when I was working on the city police department. And I asked her to marry me. I said, I want to be a state trooper. If you can live with that, then marry me. If not, tell me now. Why? Because that's all I plan to do with my life is be a Virginia state trooper. See, I had it all planned out. She said, whatever you want to do, fine with me. Well, I got to be a Virginia State Trooper. About 3 years later, I came to her. I said, remember what I said to you when I proposed to you about being a state trooper all my life? She said, yeah. I said, how did you feel about being married to a preacher? See, God had changed my plans. Change my plans. That were his plans for me. The direction that I had set myself in was a good direction. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it's not the direction he wanted for me. Okay. So we need to understand that, yeah, we can make plans, but we've got to be willing to allow God to change our plans. And to take us in the direction that he wants us to go. And to use us where he wants to use us for his purposes in our lives. Okay? And I think that we will find in doing that, that he always has something better for us. See? In other words, God's plans always turn out so much better. The writer of Hebrews makes a really interesting statement. In chapter 11, after going through all the who's who of the faithful from the Old Testament, it talks about all the great things that they had done. Look at what he says beginning in verse 39. He says these, it's all these who's who of the faithful. He says these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. And look at this next part. God had planned, and this is interesting, something better for us. Not something better for them, but something better for us. That's us and you and me-ins, okay? That he's talking about here, okay? Something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. In other words, they didn't receive the promise until we did. When Christ Jesus died and was raised again from the dead, they received the promise, and you and I received it at the same time. You see, God had planned something better back way back then for us. So God's plans are always better, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians says, this is the kind of God we have, one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Immeasurably more. We can plan all we want to, and we can come up with all kinds of ideas, but God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. What an awesome, awesome God we have. Amen? So somebody says this, we can't always see where the road leads, but God promises there's something better up ahead. We just have to trust Him. Okay? We just have to trust Him. And finally, I'm convinced, and I believe that trust is a matter of choice. In other words, we have to choose to trust in God. Okay? We've got to choose to trust His plan for us in our lives. He doesn't always tell us His whole plan, though, and that's sometimes where it's tough, challenging to trust, because we don't know the whole plan. But we have to choose to trust Him anyway. Okay? We have to trust and obey Him first in the things that He does tell us. Okay? It's like the song, Trust and Obey. You've got to learn to trust Him first and foremost in the things that we know. In other words, go to Abraham. When God called Abraham, look at what the writer of Hebrews says. In that chapter 11, talking about his great faith, look at what he says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called... obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, and look at the last statement, not knowing where he was going. In other words, God didn't say, Abram, I want you to pack your bags as I'm sending you to thus and so. He said, Abraham, pack your bags. I'm going to send you on a trip. Abraham didn't know where God was taking him. But he believed God. And he went. He obeyed by faith. Even though he didn't know where and what all God's plan was, he trusted God. But trust is a matter of choice. Okay? And here's really the key to it all for this morning. Our trust is shown to God by obeying Him in the things we know. In other words, there are a lot of things that God has told us in His Word that we know. There's no question of what He tells us. And some of those things, like we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, some of those things are kind of tough to do, aren't they? We don't always like them. But we know that's what God has told us to do. And what we've got to learn is to trust Him in those things that we know. Because if we don't learn to trust Him in the things that we know, we'll never learn to trust Him in the things we don't know. How can you trust someone, anyone, even God, in the things that you don't know, the things that are uncertain, when you can't trust Him in the things that you do know? We've got to choose to trust Him. And that starts with the things that we know what He's told us to do. Then, when we learn to trust Him that way, then we will learn to trust Him to lead us where He wants us to go. So it's about trusting God. Make your plans, your goals, your dreams, your direction in life. What do you want to do? But trust in God to lead you where He wants you to go. To use you where He wants to use you to fulfill His purpose for your life. You notice what's absent from each one of those statements? Us. You say, us. In terms of what I want to do and where I want to go and my purpose. It's not about any of that. It's all about Him. Learn to trust Him. But first, learn to trust Him in the things you know that He's told you to do. And then you'll learn to trust Him in the things that you don't know. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing that song. It's an opportunity for anyone to be able to come and to say, hey, I need some prayers, some guidance, some encouragement, some help with this or that in my life. And there may be somebody here this morning who's maybe you're struggling with trust in God in your life. You need some help with that. Let us know. Maybe somebody here this morning who is not yet a Christian, but you're ready to make that commitment. You realize that your sins are separating you from God. If you will trust Him and give your life to Him, that He, through the blood of His Son, will reconcile you to Him. If you're ready to make that commitment in your life, you need to call upon Jesus as your Lord. You need to repent of the sin that's separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. You've got water that's ready back here behind me, don't we, Chuck? All you got to do is let me know. If there's anything that this church family can do to serve you, we want to know about it. We can't do it if we don't know. So we offer this opportunity. So let's stand together and sing. Tom?